Lord, as we continue to look at Psalm 12, what a tremendous psalm that you wrote and had David pen. And we just pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts, touch our lives, change us and mold us and make us into what we ought to be for Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalm 12, verse 1, let me go ahead and read probably the first five verses. Psalm 12, 1. The title of my message is When the Faithful Cease to Live It. When the faithful cease to be faithful. Psalm 12, 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity. Empty, that's empty, meaningless words. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is the Lord? Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. So again, when you're looking at Psalm 12, it talks about the decline of the godly. It says the godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail from among the children of men. I am seeing that more and more as the days go on. You have, even this COVID thing has caused a lot of turmoil in churches. We're fortunate to live here in Florida. Because we have a governor that said that church was essential. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. A governor with a brain. A governor will stand up against those that try to destroy the church. And in effect destroy America. Because as the church goes, so goes America. When America decides to accept alternate lifestyles, they call it. Happened in the churches first. Happened in religious organizations. You had people being ordained that were unqualified according to the Bible. That's where it started. In this church, it doesn't need to ever get to that point. We need to stand on the truth with a smile on our face and say, hey, hate me if you want, but truth is truth, right is right, wrong is wrong, and we're going to stand for right and stand against wrong. It won't be a very popular thing in today's society, but we need to do that. We need to do that. So it talks in verse 2 about the rise of the ungodly. They speak vanity, it says. The people referenced are the children of men in Psalm 12:1. The deeds are referenced. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. The indication is that their speech is empty and of no value. I want to speak in such a way that what I say means something. Yeah, I mean, I joke around just like the rest of you. We were building some cabinets the other day and, you know, and Al and Carrie and Wesley are there. And, you know, boy, we just went to town. You know, they were going to make like $1,250 or I can't even remember all the numbers that were thrown out. My head was spinning. And then Al had a magnet and I kept dropping the screw down because mine wasn't magnetized anymore. And man, he had a magnet in his pocket, of all things. I mean, he's got to go to one of those things, you know, where you ladies look in your purse, you got a pin, you got a this. He'd win everything just in his pockets. But he had a magnet, and I stuck that magnet on the end of that thing, and man, it changed the whole day. I never thanked him. All I did was rebuked him for the first three cabinets we built without it. Just kidding. But that's the way it went. In other words, we were having a good time. We were joking around. I don't mean you've got to, you know, speak in such a way that every time you open your mouth, it's eloquent, you know, verbosity. You know, you just, you know, forget that. Enjoy life. Enjoy that God put you on this green, sort of green earth. Maybe it's brown down here sometimes. But God put you down here, and listen, He says He gave you all things to richly enjoy. That's what He did. So let's enjoy the things that God's given us. By the way, He gave us the water out there that we see. I mean, when you, I drive around and I still am in awe. I don't go to Fort Walton often, or, you know, from Destin to Fort Walton, you know, that one area in through there. I mean, it is just absolutely beautiful. But even here in Niceville, you go down there by the wharf and you go down there by the locals restaurant. And I mean, I just sit there and I look at it and I'm just amazed. And listen, that is how we need to be with God's creation. I tell you, I sometimes just look at the clouds. I used to fly a lot, and we, you know, when I was in construction, we had our own plane, and I was the co-pilot, and I would just, I mean, can you imagine? You're sitting there, and you got glass and glass and glass, and you're just, I'm just in awe. That's the biggest thing you'd ever see, was just these clouds. And sometimes, and you fly a whole lot lower, so I mean, they're shooting up in the air, and you know, they go around them. They don't go through them, because it's a bumpy ride. And whether you're VFR, meaning visual, or instrument, IFR, they're going by instruments. You don't really want to go through the clouds if you don't have to. So you're going around them, and I mean, it's just like, I don't know, it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever experienced in my life besides everything that I do with my wife. That was supposed to be a joke to some degree. You guys must take me serious on that. And I was serious, now that I'm lying. But that's one thing. They speak with vanity. Then they speak with flattering lips. Flattering lips. Their tongues, and let's do this. Let me go in and show you what flattery is. Look at Romans 5, 9. Romans 5, 9. And then you'll look at Romans 3. So let's look at Romans 5, 9. When there's no faithfulness in their mouth, their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. All right, they flatter with their tongue. What is flattery? Look at Romans 3, 13. Let me show you how the Bible defines itself. Romans 3, 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. So flattery is a deceitful talking. People flattering other people. Listen, it's okay to compliment somebody. No problem with that. It's all about motive. Flattery is the motive behind what you say. You don't really mean what you're saying. It's vain words. You're just saying it to flatter somebody else. And flattery is a destructive thing in the recipient's ears, let alone the one that's putting it out there. Mean what you say. Flattery is intended to deceive. Look at Proverbs 26, and let's look at some things about the flattery that the Bible talks about. Proverbs 26 talks about a lying tongue, verse 28. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. You ever think about that? When you lie to somebody else, you actually hate the person that's afflicted by your tongue. Proverbs 26, 28, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. When you use flattery with another person, you work their ruin. Because if you start believing the press reports of the flattery, now listen, flattery just, it's deceit, it's not real, it's not right, it's not true. It's okay to say, hey, I enjoyed our lunch today. Hey, I enjoy, you have a beautiful, whatever women wear, their tops, you know, blouse, whatever you call it. I call everything a dress. And it's okay to say that as long as you mean it, but don't flatter people. Look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Look at verse 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. spread a net. He's spreading a net for us. What do you do when you spread a net for somebody's feet? You catch them in guile and deceit. This is serious stuff. That's where we're heading. If you look at politicians in general, boy, they love to be flattered. They love to hear the accolades of man. Preachers ought not be that way. You ought not be that way. You ought to, I'll tell you what I like. Now, don't take it too much to heart. I like honesty. I was never a yes man. I've chewed out a boss before and said, listen, you didn't hire me to be a yes man. The decision you're getting ready to make is wrong. And all my responsibility is to tell you what I believe, and it's your decision, but I think it's wrong. And I'm thinking of specific instances where I did that. Because I wasn't hired to tell them what they wanted to hear. I was hired to tell them the difficult things that needed to be said. And that's what I tried to do. Look at Daniel 11. Let me show you how serious this is about flattery. In Daniel 11, you're reading about the end times. Daniel 11, Daniel 12 in through there, you're talking about the Antichrist and the end times. We could go through that whole thing. I'm not going to do it for time's sake. But I want to look at one verse and show you how the Antichrist is going to be so successful. Daniel 11, 21. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by what? Flatteries. See, he's not going to be real. He's not going to be honest. He's going to tell the people what they want to hear. He's going to tell the leaders of the world, oh man, if it wasn't for you, this country wouldn't make it. If it wasn't for you, oh, this country would have gone downhill. Do you know what you got in Washington right now? Everybody's flattering everybody else. Everybody's saying, oh, look at, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. What would we do without this one and that one and this? Listen, I'm telling you, it's flattery, flattery, flattery. And the world's being set up for that in the last days. Be honest with people, but be nice. If you don't have anything good to say, just don't say it. That's all. Just keep it to yourself. But don't lie to people. Don't tell somebody that something is all right when it's not all right. There are a lot of things the Bible's very clear about, and it's never okay to allow people or try to encourage people to conform to that which the Bible condemns. It's not okay for me to stand up here and say, well, you know, I guess times have changed. You know, we need to start accepting all of this terminology. You know, transgender, people changing their gender. Scientifically, impossible. Biblically, impossible. That's it. Do I hate them? No. In fact, I have a lot of concern, especially for any child that is told that that is a physical possibility to do that. It is called abuse. It is called child abuse. It is what we would look at and say that that parent, that principal, that guidance counselor, that politician ought to be locked up for abusing children. That's it. I'm not going to flatter anybody and tell them, well, you know, it's just your choice. And if you think that's what you want to do, you go ahead and do it. No, I eventually might say less about it. Sort of on the front burner right now. Sort of all over the news, sort of just brainwashing a whole generation, sort of brainwashing a whole country, sort of brainwashing a whole world. So I'll stand up and I'll say, stop, you're not going to brainwash me. You're not going to tell me that it's okay when it's not. It is scientifically impossible. If we're going to follow the science like we did with the COVID, and we didn't. I mean, you look at it. I mean, people, I was talking to Anita and Bill about it the other day. I said, you know, you guys, you wore your mask, you stayed away from people, and, you know, and they got COVID. COVID is highly contagious. No doubt about it. But the death rate is less than 1%. By the way, did anybody get the flu this year? COVID was the flu, though. Huh? They got the flu. What I'm saying, if you look statistically, how many more deaths were there in 2020 than there were in 2019 or 2018 or 2017? I want to see the numbers, CDC. Tell me how we had 500,000 people die from COVID and we shut the whole country and the world down. And are there no more additional deaths? And how come some governors can send those that are highly contagious back to those most susceptible and everybody turn a blind eye until they decide they don't like the guy anymore? That's what it is. You don't get on the wrong side of the news, that's for sure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let me show you what Paul said. Paul wrote this as advice, good advice. And this is what I think we should do. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. It says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. By the way, I am allowed of God. It's a blessing. I am allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. One of the greatest things you can do is not focus on trying to please men. There are pastors in pulpits that their focus is on, oh, well, how do I make sure I never offend anybody? By the way, I don't want to offend a single soul. You know what I do? I just put it out there. Sometimes I do. And I'll apologize for it. There was one time I said something, somebody said something to me, and I listened to the tape, and I was like, boy, that could be taken wrong. But then I go back and go, what was my intention? Was it to offend the individual? No. So then I apologize that it sure sounded bad. Sure sounded like I was rude, crude, and obnoxious. And I never am. Don't laugh too hard, guys. That one was serious. Just kidding. I remember, and I don't remember if I told you this, so just bear with me. I was preaching on a Sunday night in Alabama, associate pastor, and I got up there and I said, boy, I tell you what, can you imagine me and Brother Steve wearing robes? And in that same service, I said, and, you know, people that smoke, can you imagine taking an inhale of that cigarette and the rapture happens and you exhale in heaven? I mean, it isn't going to happen. But it was just a statement. I had a woman come up. She was sitting in front of the pastor's wife and she turned around. And she says, I want to meet your husband and Brother Doug in the office. So I just get done preaching. And when you get done preaching, by the way, you are brain dead. You're brain dead halfway through, just so you know. So I'm coming to it right now. You're brain dead. You're tired. You're worn out. And the last thing you need is just this woof jump. Boom. I had no clue what was coming. Steve, pastor's in there and I'm in there. And she says, Brother Doug, I love your preaching. I just love your preaching. But what you said, I wanted to invite my mom to services, but you said if about wearing robes, my mom goes to church where they wear robes. You know what I realized when she said that? Now, you know, you can get all offended if you want, and you can take it bad if you want, but you know what I realized? I realized I shouldn't have said that statement. That one's true. What use is that? What does it matter? It was just something that comes to your mind. Yeah, listen, Robert, you ever say anything you wish you wouldn't have said? Sure, you get up here and you preach, you're going to say things you shouldn't say. I mean, why would I say it? I just said it. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. And I really believe that the moment she brought it to my attention. But then she said, and you know I smoke. First of all, I didn't know she smoked. She says, when you're walking by in the hall, you don't stop and talk to me. And she was working in the daycare. And I was over the daycare also. And she says, you don't stop and talk to, I'm oblivious. I work 70 hours a week. I had five building projects the 5 years. I mean, I was brain dead during the day, almost there. I was teacher preaching 10, 12 times a day. I had no idea she smoked. I didn't take well on that one. I said, listen, I had no idea you smoked. I said, but I will smile at you every time I see you, and I will be nice. I will go out of my way to make sure I acknowledge you when I walk by. But if I don't acknowledge you after I said I would, it's probably because I have a lot of things on my mind. So I don't know what all that was about. Flattering lips. Oh, not pleasing men. Listen, this is the ironic thing. If you spend your time trying to please everybody, you do know it's impossible, right? You just do what you can. But you please God. That is what my goal in life is. To please God. In pleasing God, you will please most people. Less and less as the time continues on, though. Just so you know. I mean, you may think, well, no, not our church. Our church, we got solid people. They're going to stay true to the Word of God. They're going to stay firm. And you know, listen, I'm going to tell you what, the pressure is going to get ratcheted up. You either shut up or we're going to shut you down. You either toe the line or we're going to cause havoc in your church. And it may come. I'm just saying, be ready for it. Decide what you're going to do. I want to please God. It doesn't mean that you got to get up here and dog, you know, even the transgender thing. I've mentioned it a couple of times. I probably won't mention as much, you know, in the future. And by the way, I noticed that our videos don't get near as much. I mean, I put a video out and have zero views, not these videos so much, but, you know, and zero views. It's like they got my number because, see, they have people watching everything on those social media sites. And so you start talking the truth and they just change their algorithm and zap your ability to get out there and for people to see. But it is what it is. I'm not an internet preacher. In fact, I don't like being online that much. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, we need you here. It is a blessing. I counted the number of people here tonight for the first time since I have been pastor here. And I've got to tell you, I'm glad you're here. Because if I was preaching to two people, I would preach the same. But it wouldn't be as much fun. Now, I remember this, too. When we shut down, it was happening, Sunday we had service. Monday I shut it down, and the city shut down on Monday. So we shut down Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday. I remember some people coming to me and saying, well, can't we come to the services? I was like, and they know who they are. And it was like, I don't know. I said, if I say yes, it's supposed to just be Robert, sound man, and me. So I had to say no. And boy, when that turned around within 2 weeks, I was like, glory, hallelujah. Of course, I told all of you, I said, stay home unless God leads you otherwise. And thank God, God led you otherwise. So look, let's continue on. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. He says, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we what? Flattering words. As ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. He said he didn't use flattering words. You know why he didn't use flattering words? Because flattering words condemn the recipient of those flattering words. Paul wasn't going to be guilty of it. Back there in Psalm 12, in our verse, he said, the Lord, flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Let's look at something. Look at James chapter 1. It says, with a double heart they speak. Many of you know the verses I'll be going to, but it's the indication of hypocrisy. People have a double heart or a double-minded man. They're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. They're not stable. You and I need to be stable on what we believe. We need to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe and know what the Bible says, and that's why we believe it. A double-minded man. Look at James 1:5. Just listen to this, and again, it's not like the first time you've heard it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him do what? Ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with wind and tossed. Do you realize that if you ask for wisdom, the Bible says God will give it to you? Then why do we have such dumb people in the world? Because they don't ask God for wisdom. He said he won't upbraid you. He will not rebuke you for asking for wisdom. He wants you to be wise. Because the wiser you are, the more you are like Him. And He wants you Christ-like. So if you ask Him for wisdom and He gives you that wisdom, He makes you more Christ-like, and that pleases God. Because it's all about His Son. It's all about the Son of God, which left heaven's glory, came down, was born of a virgin, and became a man so He could die on the cross. That is still God. But He says that He'll upbraid not. He doesn't want you to ask without faith. He wants you to ask with faith, nothing wavering. In other words, you don't need to be timid. You need to come boldly before the throne of grace and let your requests be made known unto God. And then God will answer those requests. But you don't need to go timidly. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from me. He goes on in verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The one that's tossed to and fro. And verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded. Today you think one thing and tomorrow you think another, and Wednesday you got another opinion. I remember when I was growing up, I didn't have a whole lot of things that I stood for. My older brother looked at me and he says, why don't you figure out what you believe and stand on it? I was only maybe 13, 14, 15 years old and being rebuked by somebody 2 years older than me. But that statement has stuck with me all my life. Now he probably thinks, boy, I just wish you weren't so dogmatic in all what you think. You made me that way, brother. Look at James chapter 4. James 4, verse 7. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Devil made me do it? No, he didn't. You chose to do it. Why? If you resist the devil, submit yourselves therefore unto God first, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Why would the devil flee from you if you resist him and submit yourself to God? Because the devil never wants to see defeat. He will let you alone if you just stand firm on the truth. But you got to stand firm. You can't be wishy-washy. You can't be double-minded. You can't be, well, you know, because listen, he knows what you're going to be. If you don't know what you believe, and you just say things to say things because they sound spiritual, you don't think the devil knows that? Sure he does. God knows it too, by the way. And by the way, so do you. I've met some people recently. Boy, they talk the talk. But man, their business practices, thieves and crooks. What a shame. I'd hate to have my testimony ruined because I decided that I was going to live one way privately and another way publicly. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Look at what it says in verse 8. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. He says, draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Listen, you're going to be double-minded sometimes. You're not going to always know what you believe and why you believe it. In 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah's talking unto all the people, and he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. By the way, that's what I want to tell you today. If the Lord be God, follow Him. There are times in my life where I got so focused on the fact that God is God, God is real, and my life doesn't matter except as it pertains to what I do for God. Well, I hate building that house over there because it's such a distraction. If it wasn't for the motorhome and wanting to be close to the church and all that it will bring in the future, I'd have punted long ago. But I want to be right here. I want to be able to walk across the street, handle the business I got to handle, and be close to my wife and stay close. Listen, I quit the construction company in December of 94, went to work 2 miles at the church, 2 miles away from the house in 95. Then we were, then 2000, evangelism on the road. It's no different. I mean, it's a little bit different than living in the motorhome full time. But I mean, we've been together at that's what I need. I don't want to leave her behind. I don't like, I traveled without her a couple of times, mainly because of the children in school. But I didn't like it. We finally homeschooled them and took them with us. Because that's what I needed. Why do you halt between two opinions, he said. If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Man, you talk about double-minded. Here they are, the nation of Israel. And he says, if God is God, follow Him. If Baal is God, follow him. And they don't even answer him. I ask you that question. If God is God, are you going to follow Him? Then follow Him. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. You can't have two masters in your life. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, else you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. Go back to the book of Psalms 12. Psalms, the book of Psalms, Psalm 12. In verses 3 and 4, it again talks about those flattering lips, and proud lips, speaking proud things. What do they say in verse 4? With our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. You realize your lips are not your own. Your words are not your own. Your thoughts are not to be your own. Nothing you have is to be your own. It's to be God's. Now, by the way, you know, to the world, that sounds really, really, really weird. to the cults, they would use that and twist it. They're not your own, they're God's, but then they become God. David Koresh basically became God for his followers. And you look at the cults, and I could go through and name one after another after another. They may take the Bible and say the same thing I just said, but they're going to twist it and make themselves God instead of God up in heaven. Nothing wrong with submitting yourself to God. Nothing wrong with submitting yourself to the will of God. And nothing wrong with giving God 100% of everything you are. You just got to make sure it's God you're submitting to. Not a man. I am not your God. I'm not your controller. I'm not your Holy Ghost. You got one of those and it's not standing up here. He leads you. He guides you. He directs you. It is not me that'll tell you everything you need to do. Because sooner or later you let that go to your head and you know what'll happen? You end up being somebody like a David Koresh that says, wow, the people are following me. I'm just going to lead them to the Kool-Aid. I don't want any Kool-Aid. I don't want a bunch of people wanting to drink Kool-Aid either. The certainty there in verses 3 and 4 and 5, the certainty of God's indignation, the Lord shall cut them off. The focus of God's indignation, the flattering lips, the proud tongue, they're speaking proud things. They said that their lips are their own, like I said. And then they said one more thing. Who is Lord over us? Who is Lord over us? And I'm going to save that for Wednesday night because it is a little more extensive. Then I want to give you some verses. I was going to close out Wednesday night anyway, so I'll close out on verses 6, 7, and 8 about the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, that's the words. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them, that's the words, from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Talking about the words of God, the preservation of the Word of God. We'll look at that Wednesday night along with starting with who is Lord over us. I will tell you, I wish God had greater control of my life. Think about that. Do you wish that God controlled your life more than He does? If that is your desire, make it a reality. Make a determination that, listen, I want God to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the throne of my heart. That's what life's all about. That's what life's all about. Ask Him to do that. Submit yourself. Draw nigh unto God. He will draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. I wish I resisted him more. I wish I drew closer to God more and more and more. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that You'd have Your will and Your way in our lives. We love You and praise You. Give You all the honor and glory in our life and in the things that You want us to do. Help us to be more faithful, more submitted, where You tell us, present Your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is Your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. Be transformed, changed into a Christ-like individual. We pray this in Jesus' name as the music plays. The altar is open. If God's spoken to you in some way, step out from where you are and do business with God.